You guys glad to be here this morning? Man, it is a beautiful, beautiful day, is it not already? Not just because it's sunny outside and it's not that hot, but it's because the day that the Lord has made. And we get to come and rejoice in that. But my prayer is that you don't wait till Sundays to do that, right? That you rejoice every single day that you're on the right side of the grass when you get up. You don't want to be fertilizer, right? You want to be able to walk on the grass and enjoy what God is doing, what he has done. In your Bibles today, we're going to be again in Matthew chapter 7. So if you want to turn there, that would be awesome. If you don't have a Bible here today, my mom will be glad to walk scripture over to you. So if you just lift your hand up, it'll take her a little while, but she'll get there, I promise. Awesome. Thank you, guys. That's so great. Glad that y'all are here. So this sermon today is going to kind of kick off the next few sermons that we're going to be talking about, because Jesus concludes his Sermon on the Mount with some very powerful conclusions. He brings to light some really what he's getting at, how he's really wanting to challenge his people. The people that are there are followers of him. They're kind of disciples. They are the apostles are there. And so he's pulled everybody in that wanted to hear, and he's really just filleted them pretty well. And now he's bringing it to a head. He's bringing it to the conclusion. He's going to end his sermon. And it's really, really powerful. It's really challenging in so many different ways. And so we're going to start this passage in verse 13. And it's going to challenge us. Don't look yet. Overachievers, just be patient. We'll get there. He takes it to a whole nother level. He takes it from this idea of, let's just pray a prayer and everything's going to be okay, to, it's so much more than that. In fact, he doesn't even refer to the prayer. He refers to how we choose to live and how we choose to go about life. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the beginning portion of his conclusion of how we're to live. But just a quick reminder of what we talked about last week. Here's what we talked about. Because in order to get through these next three or four sermons, we have to make sure we understand this. That God is absolutely for you. He is not against you. No matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your past is, I'm telling you right now, God is not against you. It may feel like that. It may feel like nothing is going the way that you thought it was supposed to go. Nothing is going the way that you wanted to go. And it feels like God is just punishing you or bringing the weight of the world around you. But let me tell you something. That's not the case. Yes, it may feel that way, but God is not doing that to you. What he wants to do is free you from that. He wants to help you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to bring about peace in your life in knowing that you are his child and that he loves you dearly. So again, before we go any further, make sure you get it in your head that God is for you. He is not against you. I don't know your church background. I don't know what churches have done to you in the past. But Townsend Church wants you to leave here today. If you don't hear anything else, hear the reminder that God is for you. He is not against you. He absolutely loves you. But in this process, we have choices to make. Would you agree with that? It's our free will that gives us the opportunity to choose to look at things the way that God wants to look at things, or choose to look at things the way that the world says we should look at things. It's our opportunity. It's our right. It's our God-given right to make the free choices that we want to make. But the thing that we have to understand, and it's one of my most favorite verses in Ecclesiastes, I think it's 11:9 or not, I think it's 11:9. It talks about you in your youth have the right to do whatever you want to do. Follow the desires of your heart. Live your life out. Literally, that's what the verse is talking about. But there's a but in there. He says, but just know that all of those choices that you make, the choices to please yourself, the choices to go with the world, or even the choices to follow God, all of those choices, just know that in the end, God will judge you for those choices. So we have this idea that I can just make whatever choices I want, and God, because he's a loving God and a generous God, he's just going to be okay with those decisions in the end, and everybody's just going to make it. Not true. Not true. Not everybody's going to go to heaven, but everybody can go to heaven. I want you to hear that. Not everybody's going to go. Not everybody's going to make it. And even me saying that should absolutely crush your heart for them. But everybody can go. Everybody has the opportunity. You see, the reality is our path determines our destination. The paths that we choose in our free will throughout our life determines the destination that we're heading to. If I choose to please myself, then I have a destination that I'm going to. If I choose to play the both sides of the fence of trying to please myself and please God at the same time, there's a destination that I'm heading to. If I choose to sell out and go all in for God, there's a destination that I'm heading to. The reality is, folks, regardless of how serious we want to take this life, the decisions that you make determine a path that takes you to the destination that's the end of that path. You don't get to determine the end result, but you determine how you're going to get there. The choices that you make will lead you to a distinct destination. And the cool thing is, the path has already been laid out for all of us to be able to get to where we really want to go, which is heaven. And so maybe heaven's too big of a picture for you. What about just leading us to a place of inner peace and inner joy? There's a path for that. And you may be comfortable in your mess. You may be comfortable in your misery. You may be comfortable in your drama. There's a path for that. But I'm telling you this morning, every path leads to a destination. And my question to you this morning is, do you know what path you're on? And you really may not. And that's okay, because I'm here to share very good news for you. And I'm also here to share very bad news for you. Because there's some bad news in this. Y'all came hoping for like a rah-rah-ree sermon this morning. Sorry. Jesus says this. He's talking to his disciples, and he's getting ready to leave in the book of John. And he shares with them in chapter 14. He says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." So he's just kind of dumped on them what's going to be taking place. And he says, but don't stress about it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in what I've taught you, that there's God, that God is your Father. You believe that. So if you believe that, you can believe me too. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There's a path that I have taken that I'm getting to this destination that I want you to come. And that path is you've trusted God. Now you can trust me to get you there. And he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. So not only are you going to get this destination through this path, but God, Jesus, is going to walk with you through his Spirit. He's going to return in full form to take us home. But I also believe he could have been talking about, I'm going to give you my Spirit to walk with you, to take you down this path that is going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. I know it's going to be hard, but I want you to understand that there's a distinct path to get where I'm heading to prepare this place for you, and you can come along with me. That where I am, there you may be also. That does not sound like a mean God that wants anybody to perish. That doesn't sound like a Savior I want to avoid because he's mean and nasty and allows people to die and be eternally separated from him. Sounds like a Savior that says, I know the direction that you're heading and I want to change it for you. I want to give you a different destination. I want to change your path because the path that you're on is not going in the right way, guys. You believe in God, but believe me when I tell you, I'm going down this path to prepare a place for you. I've paved this path for you. I want you to follow it. Why? So when I return, I can take you with me. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Now, these are the disciples. Nobody's really talked about heaven very much. Like, Jesus speaks about it, but nobody's been there. Only Christ knows what it looks like and what it's about. And he says, but you know where I'm going. Oh, and by the way, you know how I'm getting there. So Thomas asks a very great question. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? He says, wait a second. You act like this is a place we've visited before. Jesus, you're talking like this is a place that we already know, that maybe we haven't visited before, but we know exists, and we're just going to walk there. God, Jesus, we don't know what you're talking about. This doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't compute with us. In fact, not only do we not know where you're going, we don't even know how to get there. You ever feel like that sometimes? Hey, come visit me over here. Well, where's here, and how do I get there, right? I look at it as parenting. I was trying to think of the perfect example to kind of help us understand this thing. And for me, parenting came to mind because parenting is the worst thing ever. It is so hard. It is so hard. Like, Ethan just turned 16 this week. Emma graduated and starts Chick-fil-A in a couple of weeks. Like, and Eli, still working on Eli. Just kidding. He's a great kid. But I watch each of them. Nobody told me that I had to parent them differently. I just assumed as a young kid that you just parent them all the same and they just turn out perfect. That's not it. It's a lot of hard work. More hard work than I signed up. If I'd have known this, we'd have stopped with one. Sorry. Like, it's not to scare young parents or young marrieds that are thinking about having kids, but listen, know what you're getting into. Your life's going to change. It's going to be hard. And the trick with parenting is I'm watching my children. I can see ahead the path that I want them to go. They can't see that yet. They don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about college or marriage or raising kids or what are you going to do with the rest of your... That's foreign to them. And they look at me like I have three heads. Dad, I just want to play video games. Dad, I just want to go play basketball. Dad, I just want to eat fries and drink Dr. Pepper. Like, that's the response I get. But I see these things down the line and I'm like, the choices you're making right here aren't going to get you there. You're going down the wrong path. I want to change it for you. But the reality is I have determined in my own head, it's taken me forever. I can't choose it for them. I watch some of you and I hear your conversations and I hear what you're telling me and it makes sense to me, but I see further than you see. And I see the path you're heading down and I know what's going to happen, destruction. And I warn you and I tell you, but I can't make you do it. And we take these own paths and we try to figure it out ourselves when the path is already paved for us. Thomas looks at Jesus and says, I hear you. It's registering a little bit, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know the way. What are you talking about? We'll come back to that and finish that in just a minute. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're actually going to start in verse 12. I think if I had been dividing up scripture, I would have thrown in 12 with 13 and 14. I think it fits better, but that's just me. Verse 12 says this, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate. And difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Do you mind if we pause just a moment and pray, please? God, I appreciate your heart in all of this. And God, this is so hard for us because it seems so judgmental. It seems so harsh and so cold. And yet, if we can change our simple perspective to see your heart in this, pray that you'd help us to see really what you're trying to say. Pray that you would open our eyes, open our spiritual ears, and open our heart to hear you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we go back to verse 12, he says, hey, just so you know, whatever men do to you, If you want them to do something different, then maybe you should live differently. Not that they will do it, but just to give them an example of how you want to be treated. So it's not a, I'm going to do this as long as, it's a, I'm going to do this regardless. Does that make sense? So many times we hear this preached and it should be, it's kind of spoken of, well, I'm going to do this so that they will do it to me. No, no, no. I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do and it's how I want to be treated. And so when I look at this passage, he goes right in and says, but just so you know, you need to enter into the narrow gate. In some versions, it'll say straight gate. And that's important. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But as we're looking at this passage, I think about this idea. He goes on to say, okay, so if you want people to treat you a certain way, then you need to model that for them. But just so you know, there are two paths with this. There's the straight and the narrow and the wide and the broad. And there are people that are going to choose to walk down one or the other. And if you want people to treat you a certain way, then you need to walk down the path of how you want to be treated, of what you want to model. But then Jesus says some very interesting things. He says, you know, the wide gate, the broad way, that's the easy way. That's the one that everybody's really going to go to. That's the one that's going to be most inviting because they're going to see so many people going there and they're just going to want to follow the crowd. They just want to blend in and get sucked in and just be like everybody else. But Jesus clearly states, that's fine. However, you need to know that when you go down that wide or enter into that wide gate and walk down this broad path that everybody else is going to, it's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to destruction. Oh, what do you mean? Like just some bad things are going to happen in my life? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you lead a really good life because you're just a good person, but you've never chosen to follow Christ, but you've just walked down this path and been a good person. Let me tell you something. Jesus says, that's fine, but the destruction that I'm talking about is eternally being separated from God. All those good deeds are going to get burned up in the fire because they mean nothing. All that wonderful life that you built and all the things that you amassed in this world, it's on the broad and the wide. And let me tell you, it's going to be destroyed. The only thing that's going to remain is you and your soul, and it will be an everlasting destruction because you walked down the wrong path. Isn't that fun? Listen, that should break our hearts on many different levels. One, it should cause us to really look deep down. God, am I just a good person trying to do it my own way? Am I void of you? Am I just over here walking down this wide path because it's easier? It's what feels good to me. It's what I want to do. And so I'm just hoping that you're going to be okay with it and just rub it away and let me in. Because the reality is, Jesus says, on that path, on the wide and the broad, you're going to lead to destruction. That's not my words, folks. That's Jesus. But then he goes on and says, but there's another gate. There's another path. And this path is the straight and the narrow. It's a straight gate, not straight, but straight. And it's an obscure gate. It's a tight gate. It's a close gate. In fact, when we think about cities, most of the cities back in the day all had the big wide openings where everybody went through. But on the city walls, there were smaller entrances that were only found by people who were looking for them. And those entrances were rarely used. Not everybody went in there. In fact, they were hard to find. They were tight. But they were usable. And they led into the city to better stuff, to better places, to more useful areas. And Jesus says, there's another way, but it's narrow. It's a tight little entrance, and it's kind of hard to find. You have to really look for it. But once you find it, it's a straight path. It's a narrow path, and there's not going to be a lot of people on it. So you got to be okay with that. You might be all by yourself for quite a while, but it's okay because the path that you're on is leading to life. And I don't take that, again, just for life everlasting. I believe the path that you get on through this straight and narrow gate leads you to life here and now. There are things that I've experienced in my life that were tough. And if I'd been living differently, probably would have sent me in a tailspin. But because I was on the straight and narrow and I entered into that tough gate, the things that God allowed into my life, I was able to navigate straight away because I was on the path that allowed me to see it for what it was. And it brought me life. It didn't steal my life. Man, it knocked me down. Man, it got skinned up a little bit. But the life that I gained from entering that straight and narrow way gave me joy and energy and life to do what God has called me to do. Okay. Let me rephrase that. The joy and the energy and the passion that I've received gave me life to simply live the life that He's called me to live. You see, I want to change that because I don't want you to think that the only reason I'm going down the straight and narrow is to do the job that I'm called to do. That's not why I do it. If I never preached again, it would not change how I feel about God. If you guys fired me today, it would not change my passion and my love for Him. It might knock me down. I might leave here a little skin up. But my passion is not about preaching. My passion is about living for Him. And that is where we have to live. It's not about positions. We're all on the same path together. Jesus didn't say, oh, by the way, pastors will be on the right-hand side of the path, music ministers will be on the middle, and everybody else is going to be on the left. That's not what He says. It's one path. We're all walking in the same direction, heading for the same thing. Here's my trouble with this. You know as well as I do that there are many other religions that claim they have the way. Right? It's not news to you. Plenty of other religions. I'm not going to name them out or line them out. But the reality is, that's fine. And we get a bad rap for being kind of negative or exclusive to the rights of having the way. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. In fact, I can be okay with disagreeing with them and them disagreeing with me. When it boils down to is, am I on the right path? And as I'm on the right path, my job is to bring as many people as I can through that gate and allow them the free choice to walk through it if they want to. I can't make anybody, but I can drag you there the best that I can. So I want you to notice this definition. So again, there's two words. In the King James Version and probably other versions, the straight word is on the bottom. That's the one that you would see in the King James. It's not straight because the normal definition of straight is without a bend, angle, or curve. It's not curved. It's very direct. That makes sense, but that's not what Jesus is referring to. This is a specific word, and here it is. It's narrow. It's difficult to be entered. It's tough. It's not always obvious. Now, I want you to think about that understanding and thinking about what Jesus said when He says, there's two gates. There's the broad and the wide. Nobody's going to miss that. In fact, He knows that nobody's going to miss that because everybody's going through it. But then He says, but there's a straight gate. There's a different gate. There's another gate. And it's hard to find it. Would you agree that understanding everything that there is to understand about this Christian walk is easy? You better not. This ain't easy. Would you agree that everything to understand about God is easy? No. No, Jesus plainly states it. He says, the gate to life is difficult. It is tough. It's not for the faint of heart. It's close. And it's not always obvious, which I would contend is the reason why most won't go near it. It's too hard. I don't want to do the hard stuff. Alan, you don't understand my situation. I've already made up my mind. I've already decided. You don't know what I'm going through. All true statements. But what you don't understand is what God is able to do. Of the path that you can be on that will lead you away from the decision that you're getting ready to make that you know 100% he's not okay with. Don't tell me that he's going to be okay with it when you decide that. I cannot fathom that sometimes. I don't understand it. The reason why there's going to be a lot of people thinking that they're walking on the straight and narrow and they're not is because they think that God's just going to be okay with whatever decisions they make. Let's go back to our parenting example. My kids love it when I discipline them. They love it. They love it when dad blows a gasket and comes at them. They start cheering. You know that's not true, is it? It's not true. So why can we not be okay when God may be a little disappointed? Or God may say, Alan, I see the decision you're getting ready to make, and I know you think that's going to make you happy, but I'm telling you it's not. I want to try to deter you to go this way. I want you to do something different. We get so mad at him. We get so upset when God doesn't give us what we want and allow us to do what we think is best. We're like spoiled little kids. Listen, this path that has already been set, it's unchangeable. It's already heading down a path. It's already set in motion. It's already doing and accomplishing what it needs to accomplish. The problem is we can't get on board with it. You want to know why churches are dying, why people don't want to be at church anymore? Because when truth is shared, it challenges their own desires and it becomes too hard. Jesus said, that's the straight gate. That's the narrow gate. That's the narrow path. It is a full turning over of what I want to what God wants. And that gate is skinny, buddy. It's obscure. It's really difficult. Am I making a good plea to follow Jesus? I hope so. I would look at it as a challenge. Let me at it, man. Let me see what I can get. Let me see what I can do. In fact, let me see what he can do. But you can try the broad way. In fact, when we're born, we're already there. You start out already on the broad and wide way. You do know that, right? We're already there. We're already heading to destruction. But Jesus, God, says, hey, you know what? I got something better. I've got this other obscure way over here. If you're interested, you can have it. You see, can I give you my opinion as to why I believe people don't want to follow or acknowledge that God exists or even acknowledge that there's only one way? Here's my theory. If I acknowledge that God exists, then it means I have to acknowledge what he said is true. And if I have to acknowledge that what he has said is true, then that means I have a decision to make whether I'm going to live by it or not. So yeah, God's real, absolutely, wholeheartedly, but I'm not sure I believe everything he says. Well, you can't have it both ways. People do not follow Christ, or they don't want to be part of a church, or they don't want to live the way that they're supposed to live because it's too hard. It causes them to have to reflect on themselves and face their own junk and make changes that they don't want to make. That's the straight and narrow way. And I'm pretty sure it says in there, and there are few who find it. That scares me. That's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. Because I lay in bed and I think about, God, did I choose it wisely today? Did I choose you all day today, or did I choose myself? I lay awake at night thinking about you guys and your situations and the things that you bring to me. God, I wish they could see this. I wish there was something I could say to help them understand where they're heading or what they're dealing with. God, help me know how to work with them to make sure they're staying on this path. And you know what I want our church to be? A church that is concerned about every lost soul that is on the wide and the broad way. And do you know how we get to that place that we're concerned with those people? It's two things. One, we got to make sure we're on the straight and narrow first to make sure that we're in good. And then while we're on the straight and narrow, we got to put our preferences and our desires aside in order to reach the people that need him most. Again, that's hard. That's difficult. It's not where we want to live. It's not where we want to be. And it's hard for us. Oh my. Wow. So what's the difference? The wide and the broad is very self-serving. It's very all about me. I'm going to get what I want. But the straight and narrow is about serving God. Big difference there, folks. Big difference. And it can't be both of them. Because the reality is, I'm depending on him to meet my needs. Because the needs that I think I have might be selfish in nature, might be prideful, maybe sinful. And if I am serving him, he's a good master. He's a good savior. He is a good God. He will give me what I need when I need it. It's also the wide and broad way is about self-gratification. Hopefully I don't need to explain that. Pleasing yourself, getting what I want, when I want it, how I want it. But the straight and narrow, it's about pleasing God. Listen, folks, I don't know how to make this any simpler. This life is not about you anymore. That's the wide and the broad way. This life is about God. It is about Jesus. It is about following his spirit as he leads us. That's the straight and the narrow. The gate and path to what? The wide and narrow leads to destruction. Maybe not right here, right now. But when we stand before a holy God, if we have chosen wrong, we will be led to destruction. But it's also, we can have life. And Jesus actually said, I didn't come just to give life there, but for here and now. I want you to experience all that you can have right here, right now. Because that is the life that I want for you. That's the life of the straight and narrow. So we go back to our passage in John chapter 14 where Thomas said, we don't know where you're going and we don't know how to get there. What is the way? And here's what separates us from every other world religion. Jesus claims, says, states emphatically, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. There have been lots of bold claims throughout our history. Different religious leaders have made bold claims. But the only religious leader that has ever made a claim and stuck to it is Jesus. When he said, I will die, but I will rise again on the third day. He is the only religious figure in our history that has ever done that. That, for me, is enough to convince me that when he says there are two paths, one wide and broad and it leads to destruction, and one that is straight and narrow that leads to life, I am that way. If you want that, follow me. Sign me up. That's what I want. He doesn't stop, though. There's other things we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, and it's going to be very tough for us. Because it's going to challenge us in what we believe about ourselves and what we believe about our world. But we all start on the path that is wide and broad. The choice to change it is yours. I can pray for it for you. I can hope it for you. I can say that you're on it. But only you and God really know. We've got to stop living this life for ourselves and doing what we want to do and get, as Abby said, comfortable in the uncomfortable. The straight and narrow is not comfortable, but it can get there. We can be comfortable in Jesus. Your path that you are on this morning determines your destination. And only you and God know the path that you're on. My prayer for you this morning is that you will sit on this for the next 2 weeks. That you will consistently go to God and say, where am I? Where am I at on this path? What path am I on? Where am I heading? God, what decisions am I making that reflect this path that I'm on? God, is this life about you or is it about me? 2 weeks, I want you to sit on that. I want you to earnestly, honestly go before God and say, God, you have all of me to figure out. Help me know where I'm at. Why would we not do that? Let me tell you why you won't do it. Because you're scared of the answer you're going to get. If you truly want all that you can get out of Christ, if you want to get every bit of it, if you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, then you need to ask that hard question. Where am I? Am I on the right path, God? And trust that what he shares with you is true. And if it's different than what you thought, be willing to be courageous enough to make the hard decisions to enter into that gate and get on the right path. Let me pray for you this morning. God, I appreciate the hearts that are here. Lord, this is an interesting passage for us because we're churchgoers. Of course we're on the right path. Of course we're on the straight and narrow. Lord, you say it best. There's few that are really going to find it. Lord, I'm not here to cast doubt. I'm not here to make people worry. But God, help us to look deep and to make sure. Help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt 100% what path we're on. Lord, I pray for each individual person here. No matter where they are in their walk, whether they're not walking with you or whether they've been walking with you for years, I pray that each of us will be courageous enough to open up our heart and our mind to you and ask you to really examine us and to solidify our position in you. Lord, if there's selfishness and pride and self-destructive things that we're doing, Lord, I pray that you would call attention to that and give us the courage to change them. But ultimately, God, the truth still remains that the path that we choose to go on leads us to the destination that's in front of us. Help us to choose wisely this week. Pray for every heart that in Jesus' name you empower them to hear from you this week, to feel your presence and to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, next week we are having our one service, 9:30, big celebration service. Please come join your church family. We will be serving Dickie's Barbecue. Dickie's just opened up in Middletown. They've agreed to come and serve us lunch. That is free to you. We'll also be talking about our heating and cooling units and some other great things. We'll be baptizing people, dedicating babies, having people join our church. Lots of good stuff. So please come back next week. I know this is your special service.